Well, it is Thursday morning, and joining me as usual is WGBH Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, lots of fun stuff to talk about this morning, but we're starting out on the dance stage, and you saw a legend perform last night.
Yeah, Mikhail Baryshnikov is in town. He is performing in Man in a Case, doing much more than performing, I should say. And it's presented by Arts Emerson. It's playing at the Majestic Theater through March 2nd, of course, with Mikhail Baryshnikov on the stage. As you can imagine, tickets are hard to get, but I do understand that there are a few select ones available through Sunday. But wow. This is a production, a performance, a play. And I guess I struggle a little bit because it's all of these things in really the most compelling visual way. It's based on two short stories by Chekhov from the 19th century, The Man in a Case and About Love. And Man in a Case, you find Belikov, this teacher who, you know, he's in Russia. Life is, as one of the characters describes, life is gloomy, oppressive, and senseless. And Belikov is this closed-off man who literally walks into his apartment and closes the door with his seven locks. And you just get this compelling sense of how closed off he is in the world and how he sort of shut himself off from the community. And they're trying to reach out to him to help him find some love. But the way this story is told through Baryshnikov Productions and Big Dance Theater, which both use far more than set pieces and words, it's all about the dance and movement, music, text, videography, and sound. The sound here is so engaging to tell this story. And it's such a sumptuous visual feast that's really before you on the stage. I mean, it was really striking to me how much of a story can be told really just through movement and some of these other elements. So you move from that piece into About Love, which is this sort of sweet, but again, it's Russian, so brokenhearted.
Chekhov.
Yeah, it Chekhov. So brokenhearted story about this farmer who really sees his commitment to his family and to the land, but really should be pursuing this woman. And this piece is even told through greater elements of dance and movement. And so there is a cast, and as I said, there's this great soundscape and visuals. This is what Art Emerson does best.
Sounds like a fascinating production.
It is. And you do get to see Mikhail Baryshnikov do some dance, and his movement is exquisite.
Well, we were talking about that. He's got to be in his mid-60s by now, and he still is dancing.
If only I could move, I'm
even
half his
age,
but if I could move the way that he does, he's just so elegant and live.
Well, let's go to something that is fully dance, and that's Close to Chuck, being presented by the Boston Ballet.
And this is also modern, contemporary look at dance. This plays also through March 2nd at the Opera House, and Mikko Nissinen, who's the artistic director of Boston Ballet, has really been trying to push this company forward. They still do the great classical pieces. Next, they're doing Cinderella, but this is a modern dance program. The first piece is CTC, or Close to Chuck, Reborn. This is a piece that was commissioned for the American Ballet Theater. This is the first time it's being done in Boston. And Mikko Nissinen has really described this as a Ballet Russe type environment because you have Philip Glass composing the music for his friend, Chuck Close, the artist who's now confined to a wheelchair. You have Jorma Ello, who's the resident choreographer at Boston Ballet, who's crafting this dance all about these individuals. And you have Bruce Levingston, who plays the piano for this piece. He's the only one to ever perform this piece, and he does it here in Boston. And this really is, as they've described, a musical portrait and a dance portrait of Chuck Close, from everything from the costumes to the backdrop that Chuck Close himself did the artistry for to the music. It's a very, very compelling piece. And then we move on to Resonance, which is a world premiere by Jose Martinez. This is very, very theatrical. He's a Spanish choreographer and quite a big deal in the dance world. This is so theatrical because you have a piano and the orchestra, and then suddenly there's one on stage. You have these set pieces that are moving around, and so not only are you watching the dancers, but you're watching their shadows. It's very engaging. And the final piece is Bella Figura, which Boston Ballet has presented before, and if you've not seen it, you must go see it. This is choreographed by Yuri Killian of the Netherlands Dance Theater, and this is one of the best pieces of dance I feel that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And what they it's sexual and it's sensuous, but it's also comedic and it's all about the body, Bella Figura, of course, in these sumptuous set pieces and the way we connect as humans and find each other. My description here could never do it justice. You absolutely have to see it for yourself.
Two very special productions which are playing only through Sunday, so if you want to get to see them, you have to move, right? So that's Man in a Case at Arts Emerson at the Majestic Theater, and then also the Chuck Close to Chuck presented by Boston Ballet. Well, next, we move on to a concert series with an interesting theme and title, the Truth to Power Festival.
Yeah, this is being done by New England Conservatory, and it's a series of concerts that happen through April 23rd. You can find all their listings on their website, and I should point out all concerts are free, which is fantastic. Mm. And I love this story because it's such an unusual concept. They have basically looked back to see how musicians have stormed the gates of power. And I recently talked to David Lobel, who's the Associate Director of Orchestras at NEC, on the genesis of this festival.
When a totalitarian regime comes to power, the first thing they do is shut down the press. The next thing they do is they shut down religion. And the third thing they do is they shut down the arts. Because in so many situations, the arts are really the only things to tell the truth. And they're afraid of that.
Mm. So NEC has gone back and they've looked at these artists who have been shut down, or artists who are creating works in times of regime change or power or civil rights struggles, because this really does go from classical music all the way up to the present. And they've seen how the art has come out of these periods. And I was quite struck to learn how classical music really was at the forefront of doing this as well. And Tony Woodcock, who's the president at NEC, told me about how classical music really fits into this programming.
Just think, when the Berlin Wall came down, Bernstein was in there with his orchestra. What did he choose to play? He chose to play the last movement of the Ninth Symphony, with a slight change in the words, I seem to remember. But he did that because it is a contemporary piece. It speaks to the affirmation of mankind, and it speaks to our greatest ideals. And it was that triumphant sound that I think was the inspiration for the success of what was happening at that time.
That's interesting, Jared, because many times we don't think of classical music as being this defiant kind of revolutionary music, but in many cases, in the historical context, it was.
Yeah, absolutely. We were always quick to forget that, you know, and the same with art, too. The old masters, they were contemporary once, too, so everybody has a message for their time.
Now, of course, there's some kind of event taking place in Hollywood this Sunday night. It's something to do with an award ceremony. Do you have any predictions as to who might take home the Oscars or who you would like to see take home the Oscars?
Bob, I think this is the most fun Oscars in ages because I don't think there are any clear front runners except for Cate Blanchett. I think I'll eat my hat if she doesn't win. She seems to be the one forerunner. I think I've seen all of the nominated films. I'd seen them even before the nominations came out. And I think that American Hustle was really the best made film of the year. The others are great. I think it really is a fantastic year, which is a reflection of how many films are nominated, which is a whole ludicrous concept. We can talk about it at another time. But I think American Hustle probably should win. And Cate Blanchett, the more I think about that performance in Blue Jasmine, I mean, just how stunning she is, that she absolutely deserves to win.
And of course, you're going to be speaking to an Academy Award winning actor tomorrow night on Open Studio.
I am. I'll talk to Chris Cooper. He's been there, won that.
That's
he won
right.
for Adaptation, co-starring Meryl Streep. So I talked to him for Open Studio this coming week, and he talks to me about everything from working with Meryl Streep, which he did again with August Osage County, to his crippling shyness. I mean, here you have this fantastic actor who is very, very shy in real life, but he's such a great character. We're also talking to Kate Burton. She's a great theater actress. She's starring in the very sensational Scandal, which I've just caught up binge-watching, but she's going to be starring in The Seagull at the Huntington Theater Company. So we'll talk to her about that, her famous family, and a lot more.
Okay, that's tomorrow night at 8:30 on WGBH2, Open Studio with Jared Bowen. And of course, Jared will be back next Thursday morning right here on Morning Edition. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, Bob.